Let us pray. O gracious Holy Spirit, shape and bless the humble and human words I speak, and the thoughts, feelings, and responses of those who hear, that this might be a time when we are given your spirit of courage, of power, of love. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, the hockey season is off to a pretty good start, and I was actually hoping today that I could say we're well on our way to an undefeated season. But I think they let me down in the third period. However, do you remember these days? I don't know if you can read the bag on the right, but it says, "Ashamed Leaf Fan." That was only 3 years ago. That's how we got the number one overall pick. We were ashamed. Maybe some of you feel that way about the Argos today. Maybe about the Blue Jays. Things like that come and go. What are you ashamed of? For Paul, and this is Rembrandt's version of the Apostle Paul, for Paul, he struggled with a concern for his young child in the faith, Timothy. He asked him not to be ashamed of the gospel, ashamed of the fact that he was in prison, ashamed of the fact that Jesus Christ died on the cross. It was a shameful thing in that time and place. And Paul was writing at a time when he was coming to the end of his life. He was very likely writing from imprisonment in Rome. We seem to have had an indication within this letter that he knew the time of his execution was drawing near. They wanted to write to encourage Timothy. Poor Paul, if you read this section of letters, they're called the pastorals. It's 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus. And really, they're expressed, whether they're legitimately from Paul in their entirety or not, they're talking about challenges in the church. Now, people were turning away from the faith, turning to things that were more palatable at that time as Christians were persecuted. There were easier ways to believe. And Paul was writing to Timothy not to let his hardship be the sign of the power of this faith. We know that in this letter, and I don't know if our, here we come and go. In the fourth chapter, I read from the first chapter, in the fourth chapter we have his famous valediction. As for me, I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. The sign of weakness, the sign of imprisonment, was nothing to be ashamed of. It was the very sign that God is willing to enter into our weakness, into our prisons, into our death, into all the ways in which we feel estranged from value and meaning and purpose. God enters there and even uses us in our weakness. What are you ashamed of? Mark Twain said this about us: Homo sapiens is the only animal that blushes or needs to. there are things that can make us blush. There are things that should not make us blush. That is Marty Fish. He climbed to the 7th-ranked tennis player in the world when he was competing at the U.S. Open in 2015. But he retired from playing tennis because of an overwhelming anxiety that gripped him and prevented him, as he says, from doing his job. He was at one time ashamed about that. Now he talks about it, speaks about it, goes around sharing that he has an issue with mental illness and it is nothing to be ashamed of. But in being able to share that with weakness is his strength and his value. He says this now, I am here to show weakness and I am not ashamed. There are many things that trouble us about our Christian faith. Many things make us wonder. I know we often have the question, well, if God really does love us, why is there evil in this world? Why do people go hungry and suffer? Why is there Parkinson's among my friends? Why is there cancer among those I love? Why do those I know hold most dear suddenly die? Those are real questions. But I am not ashamed of my faith. I trust in the one who entered into that suffering and died and went into our death and rose again to say that love will not be denied. That life is our future. And that whatever is going on in this world, I thank my good and gracious God that I have a place of which I am unashamed to enter into the struggle against all those things. The first Christians, when they took up this faith, did not enter it to be relieved of their suffering. In fact, when they called out Jesus as their Lord and Savior, it often ended in their torture and imprisonment. They didn't do it to escape suffering. They did it because they finally had a truth from which they could face all the darkness and suffering of our world. Now, there are things as a church we are to be ashamed of. We have our legacy of residential schools, of patriarchy and sexism, of apartheid and all kinds of racism in which we did not live out the gospel in the church, but we lived as those who joined the world in separating people into us and them. There are things we can be ashamed of. See, the devil knows when a good message is being preached. But we need not be ashamed where we see love taking hold. I'll show this quickly, and if you get a glimpse of these guys, this fellow's name is Palmer Pynchon. I'm going to finish with Palmer's story. He and his twin brother, Paul, and they're in that picture, taken in Sierra Leone, went to Liberia at the age of 6. Their father was a Christian missionary there. And their father established education institutions throughout Africa, the Anglican Bible College, and he remained there for the rest of his life. Paul remained and his sister remained with Anglican Bible College. Palmer came back, attended university here, graduated with his doctorate. He's now a preacher in Arizona, but at one time he worked at Wheaton College. He organized a basketball trip, a mission trip, for the Wheaton College basketball team to Malawi, where his brother was working at the college there, and they had their own basketball team, and they thought it would be great if the Wheaton folks could come and serve a time and service to those people, but also join them in a basketball game, and so they went. Now, Palmer knows the value of a pair of shoes because of the parasites on the ground in Africa. He also knows that many in Africa go without shoes, including the capital city of Malawi. If you see a man walking down the street without shoes, which is not uncommon, you know he is also ashamed, because to be shoeless is a sign of poverty. Well, the basketball came to play, and the fellas on the team kind of laughed when they saw, and we could hardly believe it, but there was two basketball players who were each wearing one shoe. They kind of chuckled among themselves and said, "Look at this." And Palmer asked his brother, Paul, what was it with these two players wearing one shoe each? He said, "Well, you have to understand, the one player came to the game today with no shoes. And his friend saw him and did not want him to be ashamed. So he gave him one of his shoes." It was then that the Wheaton players were ashamed of their response to this act of great love. Paul says, you needn't be ashamed of love. It may look like weakness sometimes. It may be in prison sometimes. It may go hungry sometimes. But it is the truth and the power of our lives. And so when you see your Savior wearing one shoe, do not laugh. Be proud. Let us pray. O gracious God, in this world where there is so much darkness, fill us with your Spirit that we might not be ashamed, but that we might respond with our shoes and with our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.